Good morning, Gloucester. It's GloucesterCast 336. We have one of our favorite people back.
Hooray.
Fresh back from Atlanta. Ralph and Chris are both raising their hands and saying you're welcome.
We just came back, didn't we?
Yeah, you're, no shit.
You're on hiatus.
Got no. Back from Middleton.
Yeah, but you don't bring Queen Amons.
Queen Amons.
What'd you call me?
What?
Okay, Joe. So, Joe, I take it that you like the Queen Amons much more than my stuffed peppers. But that's okay, because I will put them back on the shelf.
No, your stuffed peppers are the best thing.
I want to try them.
Ralph's,
what was that, Joe? I didn't quite hear Joe. There's too many people.
Ralph's stuffed peppers were the best thing that I've eaten in 2019.
And then there's Chris's stuffed peppers.
And then there's Chris's stuffed peppers. Chris did a vegetarian version, and they were
no bueno.
Were they vegan?
I have no idea.
What's
in the stuffed peppers? What's in them?
Ralph.
Yes, sir.
What's in the stuffed peppers?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ancient Chinese secret.
I don't reveal my secrets.
Just,
I don't.
Well, just roughly.
But I can tell you this. There is ricotta.
Okay.
There is sausage. There's pepperoni.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And a roasted pepper.
Wow.
With a nice marinara with a little pesto drizzle.
That sounds so good.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Let's go there for lunch.
Sorry, I won't be here for lunch.
They're at studio.
I'll bring the bread. I'll make some bread.
We haven't mentioned the person that I started with.
Oh, yeah.
Someone just showed up from Atlanta. Hot Atlanta. Susan Lipset is back.
I'm back.
Susie.
The harbinger of summer.
Harbinger. Yeah. It's you always bring, and the Queen of Mons are fabulous.
Can I take one home?
Yeah, I'm
just going to put in a drive-through window for you.
The drive-through window.
Throw it out in the car.
Let's share.
Oh, driving window. Here we go.
Let's share with Susan all the excitement she missed over the winter.
Yeah, I'd like to know what was going on.
The piping plovers are back.
Oh, thank God. I need to talk to Kim about recycling, though.
I
had a recycling incident that I'm really very shook up about.
Oh.
What happened?
Okay, I live in Atlanta. We recycle. We recycle everything.
Yeah.
We don't just pick and choose what's easy. And if we were going to pick and choose, we wouldn't just recycle stuff that's really biodegradable anyway, like paper.
Right.
So I put out my box of recycling when I got here. Mostly cardboard boxes that I cut up and stacked and tied. There were two pieces of styrofoam in that box. Now, I avoid styrofoam. I don't buy it, but I had something sent to me that had
styrofoam
packaging. So
I
had no choice. So I put them in this big box full of cardboard. The recycling truck comes by. They left the whole thing. It was tainted by the styrofoam.
They're
now in Atlanta, we recycle styrofoam.
See, styrofoam isn't recyclable.
It actually is because I looked it up.
There's levels.
They want clean recycling because that's the Chinese are getting more and more particular about what they're accepting.
Yes, I understand. I was just there.
On
a
recycling
trip. Rather than just take out the two pieces of styrofoam, they left all of it.
They leave the whole thing. They're just because they want you to take it out.
They're going to make a point so that
right.
The next time
you're definitely not
going to leave the styrofoam.
My thought is that if anything needs to be recycled,
well,
it should be styrofoam.
Styrofoam does have the universal symbol on it. The recycling universal symbol, I believe, is the triangle.
Yeah, but there's also a number in the middle,
arrows.
1 to 5, of levels of of recyclability.
Well, this was from Williams-Sonoma. I was just going to have to call that. I'm going to bring it back to the Williams-Sonoma store and tell them to deal with it.
Yeah, because they
I texted a photo of this box to
Kate
Shimataro, my ecology expert, and she said, oh no, you got to get rid of that styrofoam. I said, okay, what do I do with it? Where do I take it? She said, oh, you break it up in small pieces and hide it in the purple trash bag.
Oh.
Now that to me is just counterintuitive.
Yeah.
It becomes trash.
It's burning.
It's just trash.
Right.
You know what? Just throw it in the ocean.
That's what you're going to do.
Does he understand the meaning of the sun?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the styrofoam goes in the ocean. Is that what we've come down to?
No, is that what we agreed on?
I'm not agreeing on that.
I'm trying so hard to do all this recycling.
The turtles need something.
What are they doing in China?
The city
you just came back.
Making it more difficult.
Chris,
for me.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you for bringing the Queen of Mon.
Yep. I brought you Berkshire pork.
Berkshire pork that we're going to cook tomorrow. Today or tomorrow. Treats from China.
You better come get that meat or my son's getting here tonight and he's just going to start grilling it. So.
Oh, my God. Well, you also brought, she came bearing gifts, also some whiskey, some small batch whiskey.
We brought small batch Southern whiskeys with us.
Oh, baby. Yeah. We have a lot of planning to do. We have to consume all these products.
we better get started.
So what was your China trip like?
My China trip,
because you said you're
was,
very thankful for freedom when you got back.
Well, I was thinking about it this Memorial Day weekend. I'm always grateful, but this year I'm extra grateful having just traveled throughout Asia and spent quite a bit of time in China, and we were warned there about things not to talk about. And hovering over us was always the idea that a bunch of people from Canada had just been put into Chinese labor camps and no one hears from you again. They told us not to mention the three T's, Taiwan, Tibet, and Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
And when I went to Tiananmen Square, you know, this, I guess it's this month, or maybe next month is the 30th anniversary of the massacre in Tiananmen Square, and no one's allowed to talk about it.
Wild.
And it's, we had a wonderful time there, and there's just a lot to see and do, and it's very interesting, but I wanted to really do like the Pope and kiss the ground when I got back off the plane, except we laid over in Detroit, and I didn't think that was hygienic to do that.
Well, they don't have any clean water to wash the streets with.
My friend calls it the toilet.
The toilet.
So, but, I mean, it really gave me a new appreciation, and just also how poor the people there are. They have 12 people in a one-room apartment, and you know, like professional people. It's.
And is it is it clean, and how is the food?
Very clean. The food was amazing.
Yeah.
That's really the only reason we ever leave home anyway, is to try food in different places. Yeah.
Well, we're happy to have you back, that's for sure. Speaking of cleanliness.
I'm happy to be back. Happy to be had.
We had a big douching here at the dock.
Yeah, it looks
really good. I saw it in process. Cleansing.
Looks like a
great choice of
wall.
Like
left there
a
where
half
the wall
douche.
Meets the
I
do
smell the vinegar.
No, this one wall, this
vinegar.
One, the
right
wall
here,
behind
your
I understand.
Head.
This one wall is the, we
have
got to this
do.
One wall
yeah.
to do. All the other walls
that's
are scrubbed, talked about.
Did Frank approve this? Did you get approval from Frank to clean?
No, not yet. He's on vacation,
yeah,
so I wanted to surprise
vacation,
him.
He'll see he'll
I think we should have really had it on reality TV, though.
That would have been great.
Like Hoarders.
Hoarders,
there's a lot of stuff. We're doing the dump run tomorrow.
Yeah, like how much
can you take
like
my
this?
Styrofoam?
We might be able to work on that.
Are they open tomorrow?
How big is it? How much
which
is
reminds
it?
Me, we're issuing free tetanus shots for everybody.
It's like Captain Joe and Sons, where toaster ovens go to die.
We have there's two toast there's two
no there's like 10 of them down
no,
there I swear
there's a convection oven toaster oven but there's two iterations of them. This is the third one that's in the office.
Oh, that's
now
funny.
It's like
so.
The Hamilton Beach Museum over here.
It is too. Punk the Silex, Hamilton Beach.
Pat Dalby has volunteers down the visitor center. We have to add that onto the maps. She gives
a the graveyard.
Don't come in for losses.
The small electrics graveyard.
That's all right.
World famous. The world famous.
Captain Jones.
Okay, another topic about having to do with recycling. Chris came across an alternative to paper straws. So we were in Naples, Chris and I were in and Ralph and Kim and Charlene and Kate. So we went to Naples, and this place that we were at used paper straws, and the humidity and everything like that, literally you don't even get half the way through your drink
and
the straw is falling apart. And you said you found an alternative.
Well, I went to Mile Marker about a month ago when they kind of first opened, and they now serve all their drinks in these recyclable cups and recyclable straws. So it's, you know, brilliant, which I've been saying all these years.
Recyclable or reusable?
Recyclable. So it's like, if you can make a recyclable cup, why can't
you
just use the same material to make the straws?
Right.
So, Joe, I sent you the
name. You know, at Georgia Tech, they have an institute of paper and packaging science.
Really?
Yeah, I think we should get them.
Is that where Russell
fly up here and talk to us on the podcast.
That would be a great...
So the name of the company is Echo Products.
Echo Products.
Okay.
And even if you have to charge me 3 more cents, add 3 cents to my meal, if I can get a plastic straw.
So where's your
cutoff
point? 15 cents?
Though,
what if it adds 15 cents?
As much as you drink, that adds
just
up.
Just pass the actual cost on.
Chris doesn't spend 15 cents on a drink. Never mind for a straw.
Yeah. Well, the ones that people buy me, the drinks people buy me, I prefer it.
I'll tell you what, I was pouring wine last night, passports to him, and he sent back 3 bottles of wine. I mean, they're each halfway done, but he sent them all.
I'm like, yeah, this is not good. This is not the right year.
Halfway through. What was he drinking? Was he drinking a Camus?
He did have some Camus. We fired up some Camus. What was it, one? Haas?
Hall.
Oh, so it was a wine tasting.
No.
You were giving away free wine.
For Chris, it was.
There's no way Chris was paying for Camus.
And then we had...
I didn't get the family and friends.
And we had the... What was
spontaneous
the sparkling
wine tasting.
We had some sparkling rosé, Fomard.
What's that one he likes out of the box?
A Marvin's Lobster.
Right.
Black
Gold, I think it's called.
All right, here's a question. What's going to be the drink of the summer now that we're launching the summer season? Last year it was the Aperol Spritzer.
Yeah.
The year before it was the Frosé.
What about the Moscow Mule?
But Moscow Mule's in there, and then remember the Mojito.
How about
what's going to be this summer?
I'm
spring?
How about
the
frozen lemonade with blueberry Stoli and
oh,
fresh blueberries
good.
On top?
How good does that sound?
That's what we're drinking down at Naples.
Or the Tito's and Fresca. I've seen that a lot.
So
Tito's and Fresca, that's hot.
Yeah,
right
but
though.
The problem is no one carries Fresca.
I told
Fresca.
You, boat rides can be traded for parking privileges, you know.
What can?
Boat rides,
yes.
Does blueberry Stoli really taste like blueberries?
No.
Does it have like
you
a
don't
want
to ride
taste?
Well, you want to ride with Ralph.
I don't know. I
want to ride with Ralph while eating the stuffed peppers. That's what I really
if
want.
If you play your cards right, you'll get a stuffed pepper.
That sounds so good.
So the Bruins playoffs start tomorrow night.
Okay, everybody, stop talking. We're talking about the Bruins now.
Mike's representing.
Ralph's going to the game.
I'm going on a bathroom break.
Mike is wearing the jersey.
The black and gold, baby.
Black and gold. Yeah. And this is it. All what's interesting and I'm happy about is that every game is at 8:00. There's
no guesswork West Coast
game where it's at like a 9:30 start, a 10:00 start.
I would prefer a 7, but I won't.
Yeah,
but if you had to take like one set time, I mean 8:00 is not terrible.
No,
right?
But 7 would be better.
7 would be better.
Take your naps.
But I will be prepared for every game.
Yeah.
No matter
where I am.
You're ready to go.
Ready to go.
Joey watches them like at the drive-in movies.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it was great. Barry set us up. So who's doing... So who among us, excluding that this isn't go to the ladies, but have you guys... You saw the video about the Scrotox... Botox for your testicles. Are you guys considering the Scrotox?
Can we shortcut the Bruins conversation for this?
I haven't really researched it, Joe. Why don't you explain the value of Scrotox?
So
benefits.
You know how your nut sack can get all wrinkly and stuff like that. They're injecting Botox to make it a nice smooth appearance for your nuts.
Really?
I hope yours explodes.
Why would you say such a thing?
I hope he injects too much.
You inject too much in there.
In some cultures, a bigger nut sack is a prestigious thing.
Really? Thank you.
Some cultures, it's also
what culture
an illness.
Is that?
Elephantitis, right?
But
good. Out of control.
What? How did we go
but
to
I'm
Elf
still trying
Titan?
To figure out, I mean, maybe
Oprah.
That's
a thing. The
for us married men.
Oprah.
For us married men who
oh,
are
you talking
for,
Oprah?
You know, multiple years, I don't see any value in prettying up my junk.
Oh
well,
God.
Maybe it would entice your wife to
get a little closer.
To take care of business.
Maybe she could look at
well,
it.
Maybe I should ask her that. Maybe we should poll the female audience.
The
See, I think it would be. I think it would. I think one benefit would be that it would make it much easier to shave your nuts because it'd be nice and smooth. There wouldn't be any like nooks and crannies that the razor could get.
I thought you waxed.
No, no.
Oh, you don't
want to. I
don't. No, first of all, you know, who knows?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I need scrotize for the record.
You my might. My wife would be the expert on that. So
get her on the phone. Get Kim on the phone.
Oh, boy.
See if we can see. Hold on. Let's
here
see
we go. Here's the polling question. If my scrotum was prettier,
hold on,
smoother.
We're getting Kim DiGiorgio on the phone.
Oh boy, my mom's calling me.
What happened? I just hung up on her.
Maybe she is 69.
She considers it a blessing that you did that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Maybe she hung up.
Got it.
Hi, honey. You're live on the Good Morning Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Kim. We have we need a professional opinion.
Oh,
don't call my wife a professional in this subject.
Connoisseur.
So, Kim, are you familiar with the new phenomenon that's sweeping the males?
It's sweeping East Gloucester.
So, there's a procedure called. There's a procedure called scrotox, where men that have wrinkly nut sacks, they have a Botox injected so that it would be more of a smooth appearance.
That sounds very painful. No, I am not familiar with that at all. I've never heard of that.
So the question is, do you think that something like that is a worthwhile procedure to make a male's nutsack
genitals
more appealing.
More appealing.
Would it improve the value of the property?
No. So I would say that I don't need that in our life.
Good answer.
And it is the only. I'm not going to say what you just said. The only NS that I see. So I'm good. I don't care.
She must not be a nurse.
Boy, honey, you sounds like today we're in Copley. We have to take you to the Louis store again.
Actually, maybe
only
Tiffany.
Only tell the truth, honey. Only tell them the truth.
All right. Well, thank you, Kim. We appreciate your input.
Okay, I can't wait to listen later on.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well,
you know, now we should ask Charlene McCarthy.
Charlene.
You'll be the total polar opposite.
Now we'll see what Charlene has to say. Get Charlene on the phone.
Oh, absolutely. Those things hang down to the floor.
All right, here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Charlene. You're on the Gloucester cast right now.
Oh, God. Hi, Joe.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Charlene.
Hello.
So,
morning, Joe.
And that's Mike Coder is with us. Susan,
our bartender
last night was amazing.
I heard he's pouring the Camus freely last night.
Yes, he was.
Susan's here. She made you a crostini.
Queen of mine.
And Kim.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Charlene.
And Kim.
Get me out of here.
And Kim Smith is here as well.
Hi, Charlene.
So. The question we have, so there's a new male procedure, which is called scrotox, and this is available for men who have wrinkly nuts to inject Botox so that it'll have a more smooth appearance.
Ew.
So do you think that this is a worthwhile procedure, or we need
you? No, absolutely not. Those things should be tucked away and hidden. No.
You're not seen or heard from.
Exactly.
No.
Especially on the podcast.
Why do you want to stare at them? They're ugly.
Are mine ugly, honey?
So no. Useless. They're useless.
Well, Charlene.
Charlene, you're no use to Charlene.
Charlene, that was a...
Charlene has no use for them.
That was actually a trick question because most male genitals are very, very good looking. So apparently you haven't been with anybody else.
No, you know what? The thing in the middle is fine, but you know what? The other two things are useless and just tuck them away.
The man
unless
in the middle.
You're a male stripper and want people staring at them, then go for the scrotox.
Charlene was shopping for eggs on the way home.
Okay.
Charlene, I think we're going to set up a GoFundMe for Chris to have it.
Yeah.
How much does
Perfect.
It cost?
Okay.
So, Charlene, we need you the next time that you're down in that vicinity to take a picture.
I have a picture. You want
I'm
to
all
see?
Over it, Ralph.
Hey,
I'm
next time might
it.
Be the first time in over a decade, so.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
How much does it cost?
All right, well, thank you for the phone call.
Love you, Charlie.
All right, honey. Thank you, Charlie.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye.
I think Good Morning Boston should pay for the procedure for
Yeah,
me.
How much does it cost? What you crowdfunding?
What really concerns me, Chris, is the fact that you can't even fill out that rubber glove there.
Yeah, I know. These must be extra large. They are. Well, no, they would be perfect. Like,
stop it. All right, so there we go.
For the baby finger.
So we have a...
You didn't tell me how much it costs.
I don't know the cost. I think it's like $13,000 to $15,000.
What?
That's what they said.
Thousand?
For the whole, to get it to where you want it to go.
Oh, not for a shot.
There you go.
I mean, for that kind of money, God damn.
So speaking of spending money, and we have a potential really bad situation on our hands, and it's coming down to a deadline. The Fiesta's coming, and Ralph's boat has a transmission issue. So he's going through hell right now, and everybody's on pins and needles wondering if we're going to be able to get out there for the greasy pole. Ralph, take it away. What happened?
Well, for starters, we will be out there for the greasy pole.
Even if
I have to buy a new boat. We go on record with that. And I'm sorry, honey, but that would prove it. So apparently, when I was placing the boat in the water, and I went into reverse, everything seemed fine, but when I went into forward, the port side engine did not engage. And I thought it was odd, but it took about 5 or 6 seconds for it to go into gear. And the mechanic who took the boat out of the water last year and services the boat said to me, "Oh, that's funny. He said, I remember this happening in the fall. I had a hard time getting it in gear. And then when we drained the fluids out of the IPS drive, it smelt burnt." And I said, "You're telling me this now?
Now, right.
If you told me this in October, we would have addressed it. But right. Now, as the day of the launch, I'm finding out that there was a potential problem with the transmission." So long and the short, we get Volvo to come out and work on the boat this past Friday. And what they do is they have to take the boat out of the water. In the bottom of the pods, they open the valve and they drain the fluids. Well, he has this dirty pan where he's draining the fluid into it, and he says, "Oh, that's not good." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I see fragments of metal."
Oh.
And I said, "Bearings?" He says, "Yeah, that could be the bearings could be burnt out. I have to take out the whole pod, which is this whole piece that goes right through the boat. It's a major operation. It's going to take two men. We got to raise the boat up, spin the boat. We got to get special forklift. We got to do this. We got to do that. Do this." I said, "Hold on. How much is this going to cost?"
Yeah.
And when he started telling me the numbers, I got violently ill. So I sat there, and now there's two more mechanics that come over, and the three of them are collaborating, and they're saying, "Oh, yeah, no, if there's metal, you got to do that, because if you spend the money just on the transmission, you put it back together, this could happen again, it could be triple the price," and yeah. So I looked at them, and I'm thinking, I'm scratching my head, and I said, "I'm no mechanic by no stretch, but," I said, "does anybody have a paint filter or a coffee filter?" And they all looked at me like I had three heads. And one of them said, "Yeah, I think we're doing the paint shit." I said, "Can you get it for me?" So he goes and gets a paint filter, brings it back, and we put the paint filter underneath the bin, open it up, and we're draining all the fluid through the filter, the gear oil. And I'm looking at it, and I don't see, And at the very end, when it's the tail end of the last ounces of fluid coming through, if there were metal fragments, it would leave a little trail of metal fragments, right?
Right.
No metal in the fluid at all. So I said, "Is it possible that the pan that was dirty to begin with had metal fragments in it, and it wasn't metal from my boat?" And he said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, shouldn't we have started with a nice clean pan to begin with, you know?" So he said, "Yeah, well, it's a risk, but it's hard to tell now." I said, "Well, it's hard to tell between a cost of $5,000 to $25,000 because someone had a dirty pan." I said, "I'll tell you what. Why don't we take the top part of the transmission off? Let's look at it. If there's metal fragments, then we'll take the whole thing out." "Yeah, but that's going to cost a lot more." "I don't care. I'd rather take the chance." So we take the whole top end out. We take the whole thing. We muscle it out. Get it out. Look at it. And it was, all the bearings were clean. There was no issues. There was no nothing. Because the oil pumps from the bottom up to the top. So there would be some signs.
I'm going to call Ralph and send my buyer both.
Anyway, long and short is, we pull the whole thing off. And we look at it. And he says, the mechanic says to me, "You made the right call."
After all that.
Wow.
You made the right call. He says, and I should take you out on all my jobs. And I'm like,
Why? You lose money.
Right. So, long or the short is, I should be back in action in 1 week rather than the 3 to 5 weeks that it would have taken if they took the whole thing out.
Which would have taken us out of the Fiesta range.
Out of the Fiesta range. And then at that point in time, the boat would have
maybe go back. About getting a
we could have sued that guy.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
So,
maybe he's trying to take you.
How do you trust
I don't know. I don't think he was.
In the back of my mind, all I could think of at this point is the guy is going to sabotage something.
Right.
So that when it goes back in, he can say, I told you so.
That's all I can think
of. So for all you listeners out there, we will be delaying the release of this podcast until after the transmission's back on the boat.
Well, he doesn't know. He doesn't listen. So Kim, tell me, we got a new, there's a new gallery at City Hall.
Oh.
It's going to be a rotating gallery?
Rotating gallery, yeah.
Where can people find it?
It's right near the auditor's
office. Is it near
the
beach stickers?
Yeah, near the auditor's
office. Which I also want to talk about in a minute.
It's on the first floor near the auditor's office. And it's opening with Jason Groh's beautiful portraits, the veterans' portraits that he's been working on, I don't know, for about 5 or 6 years.
Oh.
And they initially had that in his exhibit in the entire City Hall. And so this is a smaller gallery. And it's going to have rotating artists as well. And it was created by Mayor Spatia and the Committee for the Arts. So it's a
very
really good
cool.
thing. Really nice thing to have.
I have to say, I'm not a full-year resident of Gloucester, but I follow everyone on Facebook. And this mayor, Spatia, seems to have done more for this city.
Yep.
Every time I open Facebook, she's got some new
initiative
or great idea. Like it's so rare to see a politician actually try to help people and make their lives better.
She's super.
Be from the front.
Yeah.
Amen.
She's super.
I'm so impressed by her.
She's she's a uniter of people.
Yeah.
She's not a divider of people. She
But she's
her heart
things going on.
Her heart is her heart
is
in the right place all the time.
You know, it would seem so as an outsider.
Yeah.
And she surrounds herself with really smart people as well.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Huh?
Ronald Reagan did that.
That's the move. That's the move.
If you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people.
Millennial Monopoly. Can you
the game. This has been out a while. I'm surprised you haven't played it. Additional Monopoly that came out a while back, but you have millennial age children ish. Some of you, I do. Millennial Monopoly is the first edition of the game where you can't buy real estate, and instead you spend your money on experiences.
So how do you win the game?
So like Boardwalk is a massage.
I just watched the news. I heard about it.
A massage at Mix.
It's because they can't afford
Asians,
to buy
Orchards of Asia.
They have no interest in buying real estate. They want to just have experiences.
They can't afford it for their retirement.
They can't afford it because they're too busy paying off their college loans.
You know, I don't think that's it, because I know a lot of millennials who don't have college loans, but they spend all their money traveling and eating in restaurants and buying themselves
and
electronics.
And drinking.
I think
digital nomad.
Not the norm in the way that we were brought up, but is it wrong? I'm not. I'm just playing down the middle.
It's
got to
be balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were brought up. We go to school. We get a good job. We learn to save
for retirement.
For retirement.
Yeah.
But
buy some real estate.
Buy some real estate. But what these young people are doing today is living the dream. But is it wrong?
They're living our dreams.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, you know, most of us spend our entire life working our fannies off
to
achieve retirement.
Yeah.
Health is questionable.
If health is questionable. And I have a lot of friends that have issues with health and don't make it. And I said it the other day to a friend of mine. I said, you know, we kill ourselves to get to this point where we're looking forward to retirement. And God forbid something happens to you or your spouse. And it's off
then
or not.
What? Then it's off or not.
Well, so the millennials can then buy real estate with what they inherit.
Well, that's, you know, which one is smarter? Us or the millennials?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come out with a new edition, Millennial Heirs.
Maybe they'll buy their houses when they're in their 50s and 60s.
There's something to be said about the quality of life.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
I tell you, I say it all the time. What about my dad? When, you know, right. I'm going to put off that trip to Italy, put it off for 10 years and then get Alzheimer's and never go to Italy.
Yeah. You never went?
No.
Told my mother he was going to take it for 10 years.
Oh.
And then never got to go. There's got to be balance.
I remember when I was in high school, my teacher was planning on retiring. Him and his wife were retiring at the same time. And they were planning on traveling the whole country. They bought one of those brand new Winnebagos, and they were going to drive all over the country. And 2 days after he retired, his wife passed away.
Oh, yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how we went off the rails here, but
I'm obsessed with the glamping and Winnebago travel and stuff like that. I've never even stepped.
How can you be obsessed with it if you've never done it?
The idea of it.
Okay.
And looking at it. So I think it would be, and I've never done it, I think it would be so cool to get in a Winnebago and go to like different festivals for, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like say you didn't live in Gloucester and take it to Gloucester or take it to Strawberry Festival or the Lobster Boat Races up in Maine.
Or the Lobster Festival.
But people that buy them, I don't understand why you would buy them if you only plan on, you know.
Well, say, why don't you rent one and see if you like it?
That's where I was going with it.
I think you should try that, Joe.
Is that what it is?
Don't invite me.
Well, you did something like that, but it was on a boat when you guys went out to.
It was a 75-foot houseboat. It was a little different than.
That was 75 feet?
Yeah,
that's big.
Five couples in 75 feet is still not that big.
Yeah, sure it is.
Lake Powell, it was fantastic.
For five couples?
That's plenty of room.
That's an experience.
Yeah, Lake Powell's cool.
We won't do it again, but it was an experience.
I don't think you could fit five couples in a Winnebago.
No.
Susan.
What, honey?
You would tell, so my daughter Eloise next year is in high school, and what people might not know about you is that you were a college.
I did some private college counseling. Never planned to, but I was helping my own kids and their friends and my friends' kids, and then strangers started contacting me, wanting me to help their kids. Yep. It's not like that stuff you see.
People are going to jail for that.
There were no bribes or anything involved, but I ended up inadvertently or unintentionally helping some kids figure out, you know, how to get themselves ready for college.
So I don't know anything about today's process, but from what I read, it's as if it's a whole cottage industry of like the college admissions process today is insane. Like what you have to do.
It's not like when we applied to college. I don't think any of us could get into the schools we went to nowadays. It's very tough.
My husband says that all the time. He went to Tufts. He says that all the time about Tufts.
Yeah, forget it.
I'm not sure I got into my school in the first place, to be honest. I think my parents made a phone call.
I don't know how I got to the school I went to. It's like,
they took the money.
You have to start packaging the kid once they're.
So what?
You know,
but because this and that's where I was going with this was that. You had said to me it's not too early to start packaging Eloise for college, and I'm like, what does that mean?
And I don't mean packaging and like turning her into somebody she's not, but like here's a for instance. I think I told you this story already. This young girl I knew, like her mother came to me for help, and the girl was very bright, but not very interesting. She was very quiet, introverted. She wasn't involved in a lot of activities or sports or anything, and the mother wanted her to go to her alma mater, which was an Ivy League school. And I thought, well, and there are some people who are just smart enough to go without anything else going on, but this girl was not quite at that level. So I said, well, we got to get her involved in, you know, developing some interest, some community service, some whatever. And I said, is there anything she likes to do? Well, she has a horse. She likes the horse. But she would go and like ride the horse by herself. That's not going to get you into college. So I said, well, you know, there's a group in Atlanta that does hippotherapy with horses with kids who have autism. Would she be willing to do something like that? Take her horse and help these kids? Well, we can try it. The girl did it. loved it, got very involved with this group, ended up doing independent research at her private high school into some neuroscience topic about autism, ended up getting into the school that she wanted to go to, majored in neuroscience,
wow.
and is now getting an MD, PhD in New York.
Wow.
That's
all
nice
out of what you can do
her
creatively
passion.
With
yeah.
a quiet girl who loves her horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great story.
Follow your passion.
But
your
none
passion.
Of this, none of these were things that she didn't like. We didn't.
Right.
She wasn't forced to be someone she's not. It's just finding ways to channel interests and abilities.
Yeah.
And that's what I, when I say packaging, that's what I'm
so
talking
you,
about.
So what advice would you
in an art, in the old days, they used to say, okay, you've got to be in 1,000 clubs and sports.
Right.
And, you know, just have all these things. It's not that way anymore. You need to find one or a few things. And you
make
want
impact.
Depth rather than breadth. And
yeah.
you want to just, you know, be all in with that.
Yeah.
And just do the best you can with a more limited number of interests
that's
or
really
endeavors.
Amazing,
that's a great
advice.
Story.
Yeah.
Great message.
Yeah. So we should talk about what we can do for Eloise and get her.
That's what I
want
to
right
get
path.
To know her.
Joe, just write a
better.
Check to somebody. We'll give a couple.
It's just like it's more just like thinking, you know, about the kid in a different way. And
yeah.
there are all the, you know, this kid has so much potential. Let's make it so other people.
It's
well,
a classic line. Accentuate the positive,
potential.
Joey.
Yeah.
Well, she's straight A. She's got the call. She's got
this
the.
This is like
smart.
A girl, a good, you know, reasonably good student with a horse.
SAT word of the day.
Well, now it's an app where it's actually the question of the day, but a lot of it is vocabulary. And I highly recommend it to people whose kids are, you know, maybe middle school age or older. Just start. It comes, you know, you get a notification, I guess. I'm not using the app. They used to do it by email in the days where I was counseling, but I got everyone into getting that, you know, word every day.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's probably on Android and Apple, I would imagine.
In the App Store, yeah.
The App Store.
Yeah, App Store.
Okay. I don't think Android, you don't care about Android anymore.
It wouldn't even hurt us to, you know, study up, polish up our vocabulary.
So I got
so
my...
we don't have to use words like janky.
I might...
Janky is a real
why
word.
Why do you hate janky? It's a real word.
I don't hate it, but I think you could do better. I think you're an intelligent
I like,
man.
I like that word.
I think it was the perfect word for.
Would Churchill have used that word? That's what I always ask myself.
It has onomatopoeia.
When I'm
going to
use a word, would Churchill have said this word?
But I like it because it has onomatopoeia where
it
sounds
not,
like.
I'll try
it
to find a better
like
word.
It sounds like the word.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Churchill.
Why I like it.
Yeah.
So
I've watched
on the beaches.
Did you discuss the bird in
the
house on the podcast yet?
The movies.
Uh-huh.
Did you cover the bird in your house on the podcast yet? You must
yeah,
have.
Yeah.
The Churchill movies?
Yeah.
I go to every one of them. I see it three
what
times.
What was the
them.
Guy that acted in that movie? What was the actor?
Gary Oldman?
No. The other.
I can find it now. That's going to bother
me. Yeah.
So just quickly, with this weekend being Memorial Day, as some of you know, my son graduated last weekend, Washington, D.C., so I spent
Mazel
a few days.
Tov.
Thank you.
Connor.
Thank you. And one of the things that my oldest son and I did is we went up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
I mean, to your point earlier, just about, you know, showing appreciation and what makes you, you know, appreciate what America is all about.
Right.
And what makes you a proud American. You go and spend, we spent 2 hours sitting on the step and just, I mean, complete.
Was it crowded there?
It got real crowded. It opened at 8. We were the first ones into.
It was quiet? Sorry, go ahead.
It was quiet when we first got there, but then the school buses, the school children started coming in. But I had been there before, but this was special because it was the full color guard ceremony because they were honoring a few fallen soldiers. So they had all branches of the military there. I mean,
bring a tear to your eye.
It was.
Well, I just visited the tomb of Mao Zedong, where they have his body in a glass case on display.
I've seen that, yeah.
I didn't want to go there. My son-in-law really wanted to see it. And I spent most of the time trying to keep my husband quiet, who was mumbling under his breath that it wasn't really Mao, and they were fooling everyone.
Wow.
And I pictured him ending up in some Chinese labor camp.
Yeah.
You cannot believe the throngs of people who wait in line for hours.
To see it, to this day.
It might not even be real.
Might not. How could it be? Your husband's a doctor, right?
Yeah, and he was saying that that's not really male.
Right. How could it be?
Well, that's like when
they have the technology to do it.
That's like
my husband said the Russians did too, and Lenin like fell apart, and they had to do away with him.
Isn't the Vatican? The Vatican, I think, has some of the old popes.
Well, Ted Williams.
I don't think you can see.
Yeah, supposedly
his mouth. It was one of the creepiest things.
Oh, really?
Frozen state.
It was awful. And these Chinese people have like no money, buy these overpriced flowers outside, and put them at the mouth.
Probably like a week.
By the body, and then my husband said, "Well, you know, as soon as those people leave, they take those flowers back outside and
sell them again."
Nick is very. I had no idea. Nick
I just
was so cynical.
Off my list of places to go.
I had no idea he was so cynical.
It was one of the creepiest things I ever saw.
Jeez, I got a whole different vision of the whole. I was dying to go to China, thinking about
China's
all the shopping and everything like that.
The shopping is
and
unbelievable.
The suits. My buddy of mine has been over there, and he comes home with like five.
Speaking
suits.
Of which, I brought everyone a little gift. Should we do it after? Or you want
to
announce on the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was in China. I was in Atlanta all winter, warm as toast. No snow, no icicles. And I would listen to the podcast, and I would feel so sorry for y'all being here in this crappy office, freezing to death. So when I went to China, I was still thinking of y'all, and I brought a little souvenir, because everything costs about a quarter there. These are cashmere socks.
Oh!
And you get the socks, and you get the socks.
You get a car! And you get a car!
I'm on Ellen!
Pick her color first.
Wow, those are beautiful.
I'm on Ellen.
They feel so nice. Everything is so
inexpensive,
but this, I was thinking of y'all freezing up here while I was not.
Well, I would take the dark gray, because I
want. You want
so
the
much
dark gray?
Yeah.
I thought Joey would want the blue to match his new hat that I heard about.
Oh. I'll take the blue ones.
You take them and pass them on.
All right. Wow.
Kim, take a picture.
See?
Take a picture of the socks.
Oh,
Shanghai?
Shanghai.
Wow. Shanghai socks.
When did you get that?
A few weeks ago.
It's
not like we're recording or anything.
Aren't you a
hand model,
Joey?
Aren't
you a
hand
model?
Hand model.
Hand model.
George Costanza.
You can give yours to Charlene if you're smart.
No way.
Okay, perfect.
Who was the hand model in the Seinfeld episode? Was it Costanza?
No.
Or was it Kramer?
Kramer?
Take a picture.
Kramer's are so good.
Aren't they great?
Yeah, they're luxurious.
That's what I figured. Men like them, women like them. Who wouldn't like them?
Perfect amount. Everybody gets a pair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Think of me when you wear them. Wear them in good health.
Wow.
I'm in a wear
them. Aren't they so nice?
Oh, they're so soft.
Beautiful.
Jesus. Oh
gentle
God,
wash,
so,
cold
so
water.
They smell like Chinese
and
food.
And I hang everything
up to dry.
They smell like boneless spirits.
Do these have MSG in them? Do these have MSG?
They smell like boneless spirits.
Take them back. Take those back from him.
He
does not deserve those.
Boneless spirits on any menu in China.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's for like watered down Americanized
Chinese
food.
It's for like
for cretins like you to eat.
Was Ming Tao wearing these? Did you take these off of Ming Tao?
Isn't there some kind of expression about a gift horse, Kim? Are you familiar
yes.
with that in this part of the country?
Don't look at gift horse.
Look at how the colors look.
Whoever gave you anything so nice who's not around?
I'm telling you,
honestly.
He's going to use those. You know what's going to
be so thoughtful.
You know how what he's going to do with this?
You know how much
he's
they cost
to
like
soil.
The Island Fisher website?
This is going to be his new jerk.
Do you ever go to the Island Fisher
it's going to be fun.
It's a Memorial Day sale, extra 20% off.
There's one in
Remember when you're done with these, Chris.
For
machine wash, cold, gentle cycle.
This is the Island Fisher.
How do I wash these?
When Chris's are all crusty and they're standing up on his own.
We need to up his dosage of his Ritalin. He's not paying attention. I said,
can I air dry
gentle,
him,
cold, gentle cycle, cold water, line dry, no dryer.
No dryer.
Kim, the monarchs are here.
The monarchs are here, which is...
They are?
Yeah.
Charlene
the White Walkers.
The White Walkers.
The monarch butterflies are here, and it's like 6 weeks early.
Winter is coming.
Job.
Six weeks early.
It's really early.
So what are you attributing that to?
Well, there's such a, the population is up 144%. So we had a great winter.
Can you eat them?
They left early.
The prevailing
butterflies are getting some action.
Can we deep fry those, Julie?
They're already in Canada.
Cox.
They've already crossed Lake Ontario. They're already in Canada. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Because they're laying, and there's everywhere they go, they're laying eggs everywhere.
Yes, that was far off darkest hour.
We might have another banner year. I mean, it's really, you know.
I attribute it all to your work on behalf of the Monarchs.
Other than Gallipoli, I think you did a great job.
So the Monarchs are.
I love church.
There's a lot of hanky panky going on in the Monarch world.
There's a lot of hanky panky going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
A friend just had
it's
one
like
in her garden, and she laid 120 eggs. So.
120. Is that the brown? Like that? It's under the shingle of your house.
No.
the brown eggs they lay. No.
No. No. What are those? I forget what those are. Under the
like
shingle?
Gypsy moths.
Do you? What size are the eggs?
No, it's like
size?
Brown, and it you could tell that it's just a big,
oh, massive,
like massive, no,
big massive
patch of eggs.
Yeah, that sounds like gypsy moths.
Sounds like you might want to get that checked.
You need to get a pressure washer.
I need a prescription for that.
Why don't you send me a picture? It could be something really nice. Why don't you send me a picture? Yeah. Could be like,
well, I'm gonna kill him.
Maybe we should just go over there. They have a new puppy. I want to see anyway.
It could be like Cecropia moths.
Oh yes, they do.
I think
we should just make a field trip over there.
Chris, tell us about your new dog.
Yes, new dog. Like having a
cute
child.
Yeah.
2 months old. French bulldog.
Oh, I love those.
My name is Bo, and
like
the good news is that my other dog is getting along very nicely with the puppy.
Yeah.
That was one of our biggest concerns.
How old is your other dog?
Four or five. Yeah. So,
everyone gets along with French bulldogs except Joey.
Except for Joe.
I love your dog. What are you talking about?
Joe doesn't like dogs.
So, Joe, you have to explain to your listeners what happened in your life where you are so afraid of dogs. I mean, like, definitely afraid.
Two different things.
Okay, please. Begin.
When I was a grade schooler, we walked to the bus stop. Unlike kids today, that everybody they get driven
they
have delivery. They either get delivered to the bus stop, and the parents wait until they get on the bus.
Because you can't trust society today. That's the
or they
only
drive them all the
way
to school.
Children.
That's
well,
right.
Well, in Atlanta, kids can't walk around.
Back then,
too many predators.
Kids around here walk to the bus stop. In East Gloucester, they walk to the bus stop in our neighborhood.
Some do. So back in the day, I used to walk, and we had a neighbor at the end of our street that had dogs, and the dog would chase me every single day.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I'd be horrified.
Did
that's
he ever
one,
bite you?
No.
What
no,
kind of dog?
It was either a German Shepherd or a Doberman Pinscher.
Well, that's a big dog to be a Shepherd.
He had two?
What's reason two?
So the number two was my father kind of was against dogs because when my father was like a young child, like 11 years old, his uncle had a dog, and he was afraid of the dog, and the uncle used to make fun of him for being afraid of the dog, and the dog ended up biting my father. And he went home and he got his gun and he shot the dog in front of his uncle, because the uncle was making fun of him the whole
Jesus
time.
Christ.
He says you gotta make.
That's how Jeffrey Dahmer started.
We might have to edit this out.
No, but I mean the uncle was like not trying to help my father with the dog that was trying to bite him. And
that's not nice.
So he's like, yo, is this what my life is going to be? You're going to have the dog attacking me all the time, and I'm just supposed to sit here and let the dog attack me?
Yo, thank you for sharing that, because I know I've been insensitive.
Much more disturbing than we thought it would be.
So I see it's
wait,
deep.
How old were you when you played T-ball? Like six?
I didn't play T-ball. I played...
No, but just generally, are you six or seven? How old?
Yeah, no, but where are you going with
this?
So
four.
My older brother, he's 3 years older than me. And he was on the little farm team, or whatever you call it, when he first started playing.
Farm team is
and my mother and father saw me being carried across the field by a huge dog, by my shirt collar. The dog just had me, and I was probably three or four.
Oh my god.
That's
and I fucking love dogs. So you need to.
I want to know who's. I want to know who's watching the 3-year-old while the dog was carrying it across.
My parents probably mix up a cocktail.
The dingo stole my baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your.
I think my father was. My father was coaching the team. My mother was probably on a real estate call or something, and I was getting carried across right field by my shirt called it, you know, by this big dog. Yeah. I love dogs.
Was it a base hit or
but that
a double?
3 or 4 is pretty young. But yeah. You to be chased every single.
Yeah, but where are the parents? Where were your parents while you were being carried across the field? You know?
They were cheering for the dog.
They were at the concession stand. It was Pizza Friday.
That's what they do in China, right?
Exactly.
They were in the stands drinking Camus.
Yeah. No, it was Manischewitz. My parents drank Manischewitz and had Fosse's Pizza every Friday
night.
That's
how, like, the famous
with the squares,
Camus.
Fosse Pizza squares.
Martini and Rossi.
C-A-M-U-S.
That's very
good.
Manischewitz.
Why do you call it Camus?
Remember that bar?
Camus. Like the author.
Mike's the wine connoisseur.
What's that?
Like Albert Camus, you know, the author.
I don't know. I only know Dr. Seuss.
You don't know Camus?
He's a French
existentialist.
The Dreyfus affair, you know.
So, Kim,
Richard Dreyfus.
It's not pronounced.
Tell us about the plovers.
Dreyfus.
Richard Dreyfus.
So, the plovers are in
Richard Dreyfus from
Joss.
Some movies?
The Dreyfus affair.
The plovers. The plovers is. What's going on with the plovers?
The plovers are nesting, and I'd say in about 10 days to 14 days, we should start looking for babies.
Release the hens.
That's when I bring out my dog.
How many eggs?
Go get them.
There's 4 eggs. There's 4 eggs.
So there's potential for 4 plovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh. That's it.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
Isn't this the critical part? Like they made. You had eggs last year, right?
So yeah, we had eggs, and then they hatched in the parking lot, and the mama and the papa got the hatchlings all the way across the parking lot through the dunes back down to the beach. And then we lost them after they were hatched. So
how many days after they were hatched did they survive?
The first three died within the first week. One was taken by a gull, one was taken by a crow, and one disappeared after a skirmish with a dog in the enclosure, in the area where they nest. And then the second one made it for about 15 days, I think 15 or 16 days. And he also, the whole family disappeared. So there was like a big bonfire and party in the nesting area where they like to sleep at night. So we don't know what happened. You'll never actually see.
We'll never know.
A dog eat a plover, but they'll disappear after having an encounter.
It's the seagulls.
Yeah, it's sometimes they're...
Seagulls, you should see the stuff that the seagulls eat.
They eat everything.
The seagulls are very bad. We see them, you know... I have film footage of one taking one away.
Yeah, we were at the studio last night, and we're eating, and they came down, and they land on the table. They start eating the food right on the table.
You know, hopefully the restaurants will just get control of that, because it is illegal.
They have a name for it.
Were you eating outside, or they were inside?
It's a $300 fine.
His name is
cold.
His name is Steven. Yeah. Steven Seagal.
so it's a critical time.
It is a critical time.
Is it $300
fine to feed a seagull? They're fairly safe right now in the wire, because they're in a wire enclosure right now. But once
they go down to the water,
once they hatch, they're mobile within a few hours, and they leave the wire enclosure, and then they start running around the beach.
Feed a seagull.
And so they're as big as a little marshmallow.
Yeah.
You know, I'll put a link up to it. But Deborah Kramer wrote a very nice article, and it was published. National Audubon, which is a
very prestigious
publication. So I'll put a link up to that article. She wrote one for the.
Kim, did you say there's a fine for feeding seagulls?
Yeah, $300.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To feed it anything?
To feed all wildlife, supposedly. But they're trying to focus on the seagulls and the.
Do they ever
enforce
it?
Well, they just made this law. The ordinance just changed. April 1st.
But who feeds seagulls to begin with?
Well, like
people
when you
feed
throw
them,
French fries.
People feed them all the time.
Apparently,
what if you feed them inadvertently?
Yeah. They eat whatever they want.
They don't do anything,
yeah,
but
like newbie kind of people that like don't aren't like beach
from
people, and they go, they're from out of town.
Oh,
they
throw a sandwich.
Oh, look, it's cute. The seagulls eat. Yeah.
I remember one time when my children were younger, we brought a couple of their friends to the beach, and one of my friend son's Brian was lying on his stomach, and my wife hands him a sandwich, and he's lying on his stomach and he's eating the sandwich as he's looking at the ocean, and a seagull came right over his head, took the sandwich right out of his.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
It was a good sandwich.
Yeah. One time
I like the stuffed peppers.
When my kids were really little, we were on
seagull ate my stuffed pepper.
And we lived in Boston at the time, and I had this old Volvo that was had like 250,000 miles on it, and it only had one key. And I put the key in the sandwich bag, and the seagull came. took the bag, flew with it out over the ocean, and dropped it in the ocean. And so I said to the kids, you know, and Liv was like 6 years old, and Alex was like 1.5. I said, you have to watch Alex. And I swam out.
You got it? Oh, that's impressive.
We only had one key.
No, I know, that's impressive.
The only good thing about seagulls.
We didn't have AAA or anything like that.
Seagulls is when they shit on you, it's good luck. So we need seagulls in our life.
Are you kidding?
It's good luck.
Says who?
Did you know that seagulls are
actually.
It's true.
Seagulls are actually protected under the migratory bird species.
Honestly?
Yes, so.
I have seen seals flying.
You have seals?
Such a dick. Oh my god. I was just going to do a public service announcement for anyone struggling with an old Android phone.
Here we go with the phone again.
Oh my god.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Chris, when I first walked in here, I did
miss
you.
You have an iPhone now.
So I have a new iPhone. Just
and
got a new
what
iPhone.
Number is it?
It's an XS Max, it's called.
I think the X stands for 10.
10, yeah, 10S.
They say
10S. 10S, I know, yeah, sorry.
Did you get the triple X one?
They didn't have that one yet.
It's like preloaded.
It's expected.
Photos, videos.
Pre-populated with all your information.
No, your porn.
Oh,
bro. So this is what I'd have to say. So my experience a weekend, it is incredibly smooth. So I was having a lot of glitchy problems. My Android phone was 3 years old, and I was having problems. I think that it should be, I think that there should be some type of antitrust or some type of thing that, so the messaging system with Apple, people that can communicate.
iMessage.
Yeah.
None of that works with Android users,
right?
So it screws up any of your group chats.
Definitely.
If you do any amount of group chat with a bunch of people, it screws everything up.
No, you can do WhatsApp.
BlackBerry used to have the same thing called BlackBerry.
Oh yeah, the WhatsApp.
BBM.
Why don't you do WhatsApp?
Because no one wants to. So no Apple user wants to download WhatsApp because they don't have to. Because
all right, look at my phone. I have both of them.
I had it too, but all it takes is one person to not be in that, to have it, and then it's useless because you're trying to communicate to a group. So you have to force people.
I think if they're not willing to go to that trouble to communicate with you as their friend, they're not the kind of friend you hope them to be.
Well, I did leave you off of a group text one time. I was traveling. I was flying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Joey can only get this.
No,
it's over cellular.
Right.
He can't get a Wi-Fi message.
Well, there was just a whole. It was a ton of glitchy things.
Yeah.
So, my experience with it so far. So one other thing that I was worried about. I have not even been close to running out of a battery for a whole day.
Oh, okay.
So
great.
The battery was one of my concerns.
And now
it's not. It's not a concern.
Okay.
The stock Apple phone, for a photographer. Is nowhere near as feature rich as stock Android
camera
app. Okay, I understand that you're all about defending Apple to the hilt, but I'm pointing out the pros and the cons.
Back from China.
The pros
very aggressive, Joe.
No. So, but I'm gonna.
First day back, and
but hold on.
Over it, Joe.
She comes bearing gifts too.
So,
body blow.
But there are workarounds.
Knock them out.
For very little amounts of money.
Left hook.
$6, there's an app called Camera Plus. For Apple phones,
right.
Which give you all of the manual control that you have with it.
How much is it?
It's like $5.99.
Oh, that's good.
One time.
Camera plus.
One time.
It's really a fantastic camera app. I would highly
really?
Highly.
What's the name of it?
Camera Pro.
Pro Camera.
Pro Camera.
Pro Camera. It's excellent. So that's the only downfall, and if you can call it that,
right.
And it's a $5, $6 fix is that the messaging has been really smooth. My sharing, the other thing that I was really concerned about was being able to share like seamlessly from photos to blog.
Right.
That's a non-factor.
It is good.
It's a non-factor.
Good.
So
good.
I'm very happy.
I'm glad you're happy with it.
If you're an Android user, I would not hesitate
to
make the switch.
Are they comparable in price?
No. There's the Apple phone is twice as much as
Android.
Samsung was over $1,000. The Samsung.
Yeah, the Samsung Galaxy 10.
And by the way,
it's
$7.99, not $5.99.
Ah, forget it.
The XS Max with 256 gigabytes of memory. Check it out.
He's talking about
the Pro Camera.
Oh, $7.99?
Yeah, high-end photos.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Do you need to buy it?
No, probably not, because you're not going to get into the manual things anyway. You're just going to take everything on automatic.
One more thing about China. There's like hardly any internet sites you'd want to go to here. So if anyone's going, you've got to download a VPN app on your phone. Virtual private network. And what it does, it routes your internet through places where we have freedom.
Really?
Yeah, like Canada, the US, Western Europe.
That's interesting.
And all your internet has to come to you in China through there, or you can't even get your email if you have a Gmail account. There's no Google.
Can you get in trouble for
Facebook,
that?
Facebook, not at all. But the hotels got it. The fancy hotels used to have VPN for their guests on their Wi-Fi. And a year or two ago, they had to get rid of it because there was a big crackdown by the government. I had two different VPNs on my phone. I was fully armed when I went to China.
So they wouldn't spy on you?
No, so I could get access to websites.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah. All right, there we go. GloucesterCast 336 is in the books. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Thanks for the Queen of Wands. Thanks for the socks.
What do you got?
SOCKS.